My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade group. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade group.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hey, was my father, and he was one of three men that did participate in the shooting of John F. Kennedy.
But this day, Ricky White of Midland comes to Dealey Plaza to explain how it was his late father, Roscoe White, a Dallas officer, who fired the fatal shots.
My father, being a Dallas police officer, had the cover right here on the knoll because he had the credentials and everything to be able to identify himself.
Ricky says his father's diary, taken by the FBI, says that Roscoe White really worked for the CIA, that his code name was Mandarin. White says the diary details how two other agents, Lebanon and Saul, fired the first shots from the book depository and records buildings above. Then his father allegedly fired from the grassy knoll.
The fact is, Roscoe White was a professional assassin.
Some Kennedy researchers say White, not Oswald, may have killed the president and Officer J.D. Tippit investigating the case. They say information found in White's military footlocker referred to White's involvement with a government assassin team called Rifle, his friendship with Lee Harvey Oswald, and his wife's job as a dancer at Jack Ruby's club.
Yes, it bothers me, but my father did what he was told to because he was told to do it.
Ricky White says he is now negotiating with the publisher to print his father's story. Some researchers say there is more reason than ever to reopen the Kennedy case. Shelley Koffler, Texas News 5.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. In our new series that we're calling, If Lee Harvey Oswald Didn't Kill John F. Kennedy, Then Who Did?, we started looking at someone that some researchers believe was a shooter on the grassy knoll that fateful day in Dallas. That man was Roscoe White. Over the last several episodes, we have listened to an old television program done by TV news journalist Becky Neighbors from Big 2 News in Odessa, Texas. The news special explored the theory of Roscoe White being the assassin that killed JFK in November of 63. In 1990, Ricky White, the son of Roscoe White, brought his story to Larry Howard and other researchers at the JFK Assassination Information Center in Dallas. Ricky White claimed to have evidence that proved his father, Roscoe White, was the gunman behind the picket fence in Dealey Plaza and had delivered the fatal shots that struck President Kennedy in the head. Roscoe White was working as a Dallas police officer at the time of the shooting. Roscoe White was also in the same military division as Lee Harvey Oswald, and the two were stationed together in Marine Air Wing 1 at Japan's Aksugi Air Base. Roscoe White had a wife named Geneva, who worked for Jack Ruby at the Carousel Club. There is some evidence to suggest that Officer J.D. Tippit also was acquainted with the White family. This week, we're going to hear a lot from Ricky White himself, including an interview he did with Larry King back in the early 90s. Here is that interview.
Ricky White has a startling theory on the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He says his father, with two other men, fired on the presidential motorcade on that fateful day in Dallas. It is his claim that his father, Roscoe White, was actually the one to fire the shot that mortally wounded the president. How'd you find this out, Rick?
It was in 1985 when I had come across a part in the diary, but I found the diary.
Your father kept the diary?
Yes, sir. I found the diary in 1982 when my grandfather had passed away in Paris, Texas. And from that point on, I took the diary back to Midland, Texas with other material that was located in the footlocker that I found there in Paris.
This is your father now?
Yes, sir. My father's footlocker that he had placed there at my grandfather's place in Paris, Texas.
I see. So you went to your grandfather's place. Your father was still living?
No, sir. He was killed in 1971.
Okay. So he was dead a long time then.
Yes,
you
sir.
Were a young man?
Yes, sir.
How old were you when he died?
I was 10 years old.
Okay. So you go to your grandfather passes away, you go to your grandfather's house, collect all this stuff, and your father's stuff was there.
Yes, sir.
And 3 years, call me Larry, okay?
Okay, Larry.
3 years later, you find what?
3 years later, I come to a part in the diary. It was an everyday event that he would place into the diary.
He was a police officer?
He was a police officer for the Dallas Police Department, and I come across a part in the diary where it stated that him and two other men were in a part of the assassination. He was, it started out that him himself was Mandarin, was located behind behind the stockade fence, and that Lebanon was in the 6th floor book depository.
That would be Oswald.
No, Oswald was not one of the shooters in the Kennedy assassination. Oswald was probably in the book depository, but was not one of the shooters in David Plaza. Saul was on the top of the records building, and what they had was a triangular shooting fire at the motor cave.
That's the diary date of Friday, November 22nd.
Yes, sir.
What did he have on November 21st? Did he write, tomorrow we're going to kill the president?
No, he never did. What he had stated was that him and a few other men had met the day before and had corroborated the plans before the next day. And that was what the assassination would be, the November the 21st. Second.
Did he enlarge at all on who Lee Harvey Oswald was and how that whole scenario took place?
No, sir. No, Larry, he never did.
He just said he shot and two other guys shot.
Shot. That's correct.
Did he write why they shot?
Yes, because the men in the buildings would be diversion for the man behind the picket fence. And what it would be is they would fire first, giving the diversion of the people maybe looking up towards the buildings, when he would fire the fatal shot to the throat.
Your father was how old?
He would have been 28 years old at the time.
Why did he want to kill the president?
He was asked through Naval Intelligence, which was a right wing of the CIA at the time, to eliminate a national security threat.
What took you 5 years to give us this diary?
It took me a long time to be able to corroborate the story, to be able to find other people that my father was involved with.
You mean you went on a 5-year personal investigation?
No, sir. I was on a full-time job basis. I had to do it on a personal venture until 1989, and that's when I started doing this full-time.
Why didn't you think of taking it, say, to the Dallas Times Herald or Dallas Morning News or New York Times or Washington Post or CNN or somebody and say, look what I got here. Let's go.
First, I had to prove to myself that the story was true. And to investigate it, and my ideals at the time that I was never going to bring the story public. I wanted to...
It's your father.
I know that. And it's hurt me very deeply to come forward to tell the story.
What proved it to you?
It was the diary in 1995.
I know, but you said you had to go out to prove it. Was there any...
Yeah, when I started investigating the Kennedy assassination, corroborating through other individuals that my father was plotted into the assassination is when I came forward to a businessman in Midland, Texas, and asked him if he would be interested in hearing the story, and he was. And at the time, it was just strictly a one-on-one individual that he was interested in finding out who was involved in the Kennedy assassination.
Where's the diary now?
I would believe now it would be in the possession of the FBI.
Did you turn it over to them?
No, I did not.
How did it disappear if it was in your possession?
Well, when I was taken in of May of 88 to be interrogated for the involvement of a safety deposit box is when they discovered that I had a diary. And then I had already left the federal building. I had gathered all the material up.
Oh, you were being investigated because you took something from a safety deposit box?
No, sir. I was investigating a safety deposit box that my father had left.
And they stopped you from doing that?
That's
and took the diary. We have some statements here if you'd like to comment. Bobby Ray Inman, former CIA deputy director, after examining the messages that Roscoe White allegedly received from the CIA, said they are not legitimate. His reaction is that the information you gathered was a forgery or invalid.
That's incorrect. I have never forged anything. I've only found facts. And this
you man, got the CIA stuff, information?
I have John Stockwell, a former CIA director at the time, stated that he was 90% sure that it was corroborated that they do look genuine.
The FBI says that they received this information in 1988, as you state, but, quote, determined that this information is not credible, end quote.
That's what they had told me in May of 88 when I was in there being interrogated. They denied me. They told me it was not true. And I'd known then at that time that I was not going to get any cooperation of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
And the Dallas Police Department told the producers of Larry King Live that it was unlikely your father would have been on day work at that time. He would probably still be in the academy. The Dallas Police Department does verify that he was employed.
Well, that's correct, but my father did not go to the academy until after January of 1964, so he was employed with the Dallas Police Department 3 months prior to him going to the academy.
As a patrolman?
No, sir. He was in the crime scenes as a photographer.
We'll be right back with Ricky White. We'll include your phone calls. This is Larry King Live. Tomorrow night, don't forget, Persian Gulf War presents now anti-war activists. We'll meet them. They'll tell us why they think we shouldn't be there.
This conspiracy, and they're going to believe it. This one, some others, there are over 300 of them now, and so I guess they're about to have a little fun out of it.
Our guest is Ricky White, the 29-year-old oil equipment salesman who has just come out with this story. By the way, people backing his claims are his mother and your father's preacher, right, as well as the JFK Assassination Information Center. Your mother says that her husband killed the president.
That's correct.
Why didn't you forget all this, Rick, and burn the diary?
Well, it was because of my mother that I'm standing up and telling the people today. It's because that without her pushing me on and wanting the story to be told is the reason why I'm trying to tell it.
But if everything jives and we now accept this, you have taken and painted your family, the father, you're in the mode of John Wilkes Booth. Among the worst of our citizens ever to kill a president by shooting him from behind.
But it'd be worse not to tell the story and hold it behind. It is better to tell a story and let the people know the truth. And the truth is what tells for it all.
Jonesboro, Georgia. Hello.
Yes, sir. I'd like to know if this is propaganda for a movie. And if it's not, why would he disgrace his name? And
is this going to be a movie or a book?
Neither one. We strictly went public for the safety of my family and everybody that was involved in it.
Oh, you feared for your lives.
That's correct.
Laurel, Maryland, hello.
Yes, Larry, how you doing tonight?
Fine.
I was asking, I saw his press conference, and he stated that the government told his father to do it. Why would the government tell his father to kill the President of the United States?
Because he was a national security threat to the government at the time.
I mean, the CIA wanted him eliminated. There are many who thought that. Jim Garrison, now judge in Louisiana, thought that the CIA wanted the president eliminated. They thought it was a right-wing element of the
That's
CIA.
That's correct. Uh-huh. The right-wing from the CIA. It wasn't actually the CIA. It was people that was above him.
Did you talk to your mother about him, your father? And why, did she know he was going to do it that day he did it?
No, she sure didn't. I think she had the emption because she had overheard in two different conversations with Jack Ruby that they were plotting to eliminate John F. Kennedy.
Your father died how many years later?
He died in 1971.
And 8 years later?
Yes, sir.
Of natural causes?
No, he was an explosion at M&M Equipment Company, and it was a false... He basically had gone on a break for about 15 minutes and had returned, and somebody had cut in the acetylene hoses inside there, and the room had filled up with acetylene. And there was a 5-gallon... gas can that was delivered from Aerial Chemical that was placed up under the welding table, and when he arched a flint and an
explosion. You're saying they killed him?
That's correct.
The other two people too were in the diary?
We have no earthly idea. We're right now in the research of finding those two men.
We'll be back with Ricky White on Larry King Live after this. By the way, this is Ricky White's first ever appearance on television, so this has not been easy. And Hugh Ainsworth, the gentleman we showed earlier, kind of debunking this story, you say he was going to write the book of this, right?
That's correct. He was going to write a synopsis for us, and he was very interested in doing it at the time, but had another commitment. He was wondering if we could wait later before he could do it.
So you think he's doing this out of spite?
I believe he is.
Good luck, Ricky. I know this has not been easy.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Ricky White, who says his father fired the fatal shot that November day in Dallas so many years ago, 27 years ago.
My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
My name is Ricky Tharg White. It's the story of my father, Roscoe Anthony White. It's the main incident that convinced me that my father was involved in the Kennedy assassination in 1985. It was 1982 when I had found a diary in my grandparents' house on West Houston Street. His truck stayed in there under key and lock, and took these other trunks that were on top out of it all and reached down and grabbed it and pulled it outside. And had my wife, it was back there, and she had noticed it too. And then when I dusted it off, I knew for a fact it was my father's footlocker, because it had Roscoe A. White, and had his military number on the bottom of it. And automatically, I opened it up, and inside this footlocker was my father's original military records, which are probably about this thick. Inside there too was a lot of men of burial that had involved the Kennedy assassination. It's the very first thing that I noticed. When I opened the trunk, sitting on top was this black book. And to me, it looked like a Bible. You know, it was that big, but it had a little lip that locked over it. And I thought maybe that it was a Bible at first, because my father was, I knew that he believed in God, never went to church. And I just thought that it was a Bible that he had left behind. And I stuck it all in the suitcase and carried it home. And then after I'd gotten home, and I believe after I started looking through it, I realized that this wasn't a Bible. This was my father's diary. And he was black with gold trim around it and had a little lip that came over and had a little lock in it so you could push it. And it had a little snap in there and locked it. It was about this high, about this wide, about this thick. And I would say that it had probably about 400 pages. It had lines all the way down. It didn't have dates, and it was completely open.
And so it was not pre-printed?
It wasn't pre-printed. My father would state each day that he would enter each thing that would happen that day. And after each one of those days, he would start another day, you know, and then another day. And then whatever was in that day. And it started in 1957. The last entry would have been 2 weeks prior to his death in September, 71. But I thought by reading this diary that I would be able to know my father, what type of person he was, how he thought, what his morals were. And it was until 1985 where I came apart through the diary where my father was involved in the Kennedy assassination.
How many pages of the diary were devoted to
the assassination? More than any notation in the whole diary. It was completely one whole full page on one side and another full on the other page. So it was two pages of documentation of the Kennedy assassination on November 22nd, 1963. And the only thing that it ever mentioned on the previous page, it was that my father had met with somebody prior before
next day. You would never even know in your life how it felt when I read that. I mean, words could even say it. Because you're talking a man that I loved and treasured and respected.
What do you feel his motivation was, based on the diary, based on him, for the assassination?
He was convinced through other people that he was a national security threat or a communist ally trying to, you know, invade the United States in his own ways, and convinced my father that this man had to be taken out. But then the diary never stated that he was paid a dime. The only thing that was ever in the diary that he did have a safety deposit box and had money in it. And I had a receipt that's proven to me that there was $100,000 in Woodward State Bank. I believe that $100,000 was probably not only the Kennedy assassination, but other involvements my father was prior in his life. I really do. There's no way that man could ever have $100,000 in the bank making $800 a month. It'd take a lot of years to save $100,000. I just remember that the 21st of November, him and three other men had met the day before. Everything was fine. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that. The injury started out as that my position was the man behind the stockade fence. Parentheses, Mandarin. Pearl. The man who was in the book depository, slash, was Leopold. The man that was in the records building was Saul. Yeah, it stated that Lebanon had got into the book depository by heating and air conditioning, proving that it worked inside the building.
So he was dressed as air conditioning?
I believe he was. And Saul had worked for the Dallas cleaning crew at the time. It was a janitorial service that Dallas had at the time.
But is there any identification as to the names of
the people? No, I don't know the names of them. What I know about the diary, I can place, you know, Oswald as being the person that he admits that never fired any shots that night. And he had met up with an officer on Cliff and had gotten in his car. And from that point there, they had gone by a rooming house where they were expecting to pick this man up to go to Redford Field.
And this man was?
This man was Lee Harvey Oswald, and the man, the officer with the Johnny Tippett. From after they left the rooming house, and he had mentioned in the diary that this officer had bombed twice, scared him to blow a scene. And he was still in a frantic and had ran to the nearest store. This officer had went in and made a phone call and had came back outside. Got in the car. They wound up going to the rendezvous place. The man that they were supposed to pick up was standing there waiting on them. He got in the car. They were rushing off to Redbird Field. For the street that they were on, Oswald had jumped out of the car two blocks before my father shoots Officer Tim Patton. And he doesn't stay. He gets out of the car. After Oswald gets out of the car, he states that he just shot an officer attending Patton.
Did he say when Oswald did?
Two blocks before he shot Officer attending Patton. My mother had worked for Jack Ruby for 3 weeks in September of 1963. And through her relationship working there at the Carroll Sub Club, she had overheard Jack Ruby, my father, through a crack in the door that they were conspiring back in September, the plot of killing John F. Kennedy.
In the summer of 1990, right here at the JFK Assassination Information Center, Ricky White released this story about his father, Roscoe White. We at the JFK Assassination Information Center believe that a formal investigation should be started as soon as possible to determine the validity of these charges. However, no one in power, be it on a state level, local level, or federal level, has ever investigated these charges. We feel that the American people and Ricky White have a right to know the truth about the possible involvement of his father in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Those of you that have not purchased my book yet and would like to learn more about the assassination, drop me an email at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com and I will get you a personalized signed copy in the mail. It would make a great gift for anyone interested in the JFK assassination. It is an oversized coffee table style book that is over 500 pages and contains hundreds of pictures, most of them in vibrant color. I can promise you will not be disappointed in the book. The price is $60 for the hardcover and $40 for the softcover. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com.